I'm trying to tell you how not mess it up. Amen. How not let it get messed up. But there's a way the devil will work in our lives to try to wreck a revival. And he'll work, believe me, I'm telling you, the devil, listen to me, the devil does not want you or Maple Grove Baptist Church to have a revival.
Amen.
Amen. And I began to study on this yesterday, and the more I studied, I said, man, that is a pattern, and that is a laid out plan of how to wreck a revival. But here's the good thing about it. Chapter 6 also, for every point, gives us an answer. How not to let it happen. Amen. Isn't that good? Aren't you glad the Bible doesn't just tell you what's wrong, but tell you how to get it right?
Amen.
I'm glad that. My dad always told me, he said, never preach on hell or judgment while you don't show a way to the cross. Amen. And I believe that. That's good advice. And so we'll try to do that tonight. Let's bow our heads. Dear Father, thank you for this day and how good you've been to us. Now bless your word. And Lord, I pray you use this preacher, Lord, as your vessel, Lord, of honor to you. And Lord, I know I'm feeble, and Lord, there's not much I can do, but Lord, may it be encouragement, your people. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. You'll be seated tonight. You'll be seated tonight. How to wreck a revival. How in the world do you wreck a revival? Well, look at it with me in verse number 2. The Bible says, now it came to pass when Geshem and the Arabian and the rest of our enemies heard that I had built the wall, and there was no breach left therein, though at the time I had not set up the doors upon the gates. Now, he had been building back the wall. If you want to study, if you want a book to study on how to have revival, the book of Nehemiah is a revival book. It is, Brother Freeman, it's one of the best books in the Bible. If you want to know how to get revived, how to get things back, there's a pattern from all the way through the book. I'll show you how to do that. I don't think you could probably preach on anything better than Nehemiah about how to have revival. But at the same token time, Brother Ty, it also tells you the battles you're going to have it. Now, of course, now Nehemiah is coming back to build up the walls. And the walls are there for safety and sanctuary, and it's also there for separation and sanctification. If that ain't a picture of revival, I don't know what is. And so they're building back the walls. Things had tore down, been burnt down. And he's built quite a bit. He's built all the breaches back, all the walls back. Now he's just about ready to set up the gates where he can close the doors and keep the enemy out and have safety for the people there. Amen. Now he gets that far along and the enemy hears about it. And so what does an enemy do? Well, look at it with me. Verse number 2. He said that Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me saying, come, let us meet together in some one of the villages of the plain of Ono, but they thought to do me mischief. Now, the first way to wreck a revival or kill a revival is to be reasonable with the enemy. Be reasonable with the enemy. Try to get along with the enemy. Because that's what they're going to do first. They're going to try to get along with you. Amen? And one of the first ways to be sure that you're going to wreck a revival is to become reasonable with the enemy. I'm not talking about reason with God. He said, come, let us reason together. We need to reason with God, but we do not need to be reasonable with the enemy. Amen? Now, how do you get reasonable with the enemy? It's when you get ships and seas. Let me show you what I mean. In verse number 2, he says that Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me, saying, come, let us meet together. They want to have some fellowships. And if you get in the wrong ship with the wrong fellow, you're in trouble. Amen? And though, so they want to have some fellowships. And look at this. It says, in some one of the villages in the plain of Ono, but they thought to do me mischief. So what did they want to do? They want to have a fellowship in privacy. And I'm telling you right now, ships and seas will get you in trouble. Fellowships and privacy will get you in trouble. Amen. As soon as you have fellowship in privacy, outside the house of God, outside the leadership of God, outside the authority of God, you're getting their fellowships in the wrong sea. Amen? And so you see that they just wanted to be reasonable and wanted him to come together. Now, notice what it says. In someone that's outside, not where you are, in someone where? In someone of the villages in the plain of Ono. Now, the word Ono means successful. And I've read about this in a lot of commentaries. I'm just telling you what a lot of commentaries say. They say that most likely with the word being Ono and him going there, that they were probably going to try to offer him or bribe him was some kind of money. I thought about this. It's a no-no to go to Ono. Amen. You better not go somewhere where somebody is going to try to bribe you to get you down to their level. Amen. And so we see the first of all, a reasonable with the enemy. But there's an answer. Look at verse number 3. And I sent messengers unto them saying, I am doing a great work so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it and come down to you? Yet they sent unto me 4 times after this sort, and I answered them out the same manner. Now just cause you say no one time, just cause you say no to oh no, don't mean they're gonna quit. They're gonna keep coming. And they may come several times. Amen. And they're trying to get you to have fellowship in their sea. They want to have that fellowship in privacy that it might get you down to their level. But the first answer is this. Refuse to come aboard. Refuse to come aboard. Don't load up with that crowd that wants to have those little private talks and wants to get on the phone and gossip and wants to try to figure out what's going on in revival and begins to worry about all those things that's going on and whether or not they wring in their hands about that. One of the most dangerous things you can have, one of the greatest ways to be a wreck of revival is to be reasonable with the enemy. To be reasonable with the enemy. You say, preacher, they're not an enemy. If they're fighting against the church, they are. If they're fighting against revival, they become an enemy. Amen. And so they are battling the church and battling revival. Number one, be reasonable with the enemy will wreck a revival. Number two, look at verse number 5 through verse number 9. The Bible says, then sent Sanballat his servant unto me in like manner the 5th time with an open letter in his hand. Now he's already said it, already done it before, but now he does a 5th time. Now notice when he sends it this time, he does it in a shared type letter. The Bible says he come with an open letter in his hand. Now, Brother Freeman, why would you have an open letter in your hand? Why would you have an open letter in your hand? Huh? Who can read it? Everybody can read it. Amen? They begin to want to kind of share it with everybody. Amen. Let's just, I'm not talking to you, Brother Ty. I'm just walking by. I'm not saying. I mean, I would never say it. I'd never say it. But it comes to me with an open letter in his hand. That's what he does. And so he comes in with an open letter in his hand, and he shares it with everybody on the way. You know what he did? An open letter in his hand. Look at verse 6. Whereon was written, it is reported among the heathen, and Geshmu saith it. Now, Geshmu, he is the same word as Geshem. It's spelled 2 different ways there. And we already know he's an Arabian. And the Bible says it's reported among the heathen. Now, look at the source of their letter. Look at the source of their letter. First, they're sharing a letter. And the letter that they're sharing is talking about what the heathen are saying. Listen to what I'm saying. They're talking about what the heathen's saying. Amen. And so, what is the heathen saying? Well, here's what they're spreading. He says that thou and the Jews think to rebel, for which cause thou builds the wall. So the only reason you're building that wall is so you can be a rebel. You can rebel against the king. He said that thou mayest be their king, according to these words. And you're going. What the point is? The Arabians and the heathen say that you're just building the wall so you can rebel against the king and you can be the ruler yourself. You hear? But I never share it. You ready? Look at verse 7. And then that thou hast also appointed prophets to preach at thee at Jerusalem. He said, you got a bunch of rogue, that is said, now I'm just saying. Right? You got a bunch of rogue prophets back at Jerusalem that are preaching about you being king and being ruler. You got a bunch of rogue prophets. I mean, they're just saying, well, it's not me saying, but the heathen and the Arabian is saying. I'm just sharing it with you. What do you think about what the preacher preached on Sunday? I mean, I wouldn't say anything bad. I'm just sharing it. What do you think? Let me get in your opinion. I'm just saying. Oh, excuse me, I'm not saying. I'm just sharing. I'm not saying. I'm just sharing. You know what I'm saying? And so they begin to ask him that. And so we see that some begin, how do you wreck a revival? Well, you begin to some rumors. The first thing you do is you begin reasonable with the enemy. The second thing you do is you begin to spread some rumors. And you spread rumors from the wicked. You get your advice from those that are outside the church. You get your advice from those that are outside the fellowship. You get your advice from those that are outside faithfulness. That's the ones you find out what's going on at church, right? No, you don't find out what's going on at church from out there. You find out what's going on at church from in here. Amen. And so, you know, that's going on. Well, look it with me. He says, there, saying there is a king in Judah, and now shall it be reported to the king according to these words, come now therefore, and let us take counsel together. Now, you know what he's saying? Oh, Sanballat said, listen, I'm sending you an open letter to share, and it's come from a bad source, but I want to share it with you. I'm just saying, this is what's being spread out around you. So I tell you what we need to do. Nehemiah, we need to come take some counsel together so we can smooth this thing out. Smooth this thing out. Some people's upset. Some people's upset about what you're doing. It's been said. It's been said. It's been said. Look at the source of who's saying it. It's been said. So let's smooth it out. Let's come have some counsel and figure out how we're going to smooth this thing out. Don't that sound great? Smooth it out. Let's make it all smooth. Let's whitewash this thing real good. Y'all with me? I don't know why I'm preaching this on Wednesday night, but it's all right. Look at verse 8. Here's an answer when some begin to some rumors. Then I said unto him, saying, there are no such things done as thou sayest. That's wrong. You know what the best answer when something's wrong? That's wrong. There is no such things done as thou sayest, but thou feedest them out of thine own heart. Thou feedest them out of thine heart, for they all made us afraid, saying, their hands shall be weakened for the work, that it be not done. Look at this, period. Now therefore, O God, strengthen my hands. Now therefore, God, they're doing. He says, listen, I'm telling you what, you made this thing up. You're trying to make us afraid. You're trying to make us weak. Now, God, I pray you strengthen our hands. He just turns his back on that old crowd and said, God, you make us powerful enough to finish this wall, to give us revival. You say, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying, you know how you wreck a revival? You begin with some rumors. But how do you answer that? You refute it and continue to trust God. Brother Eugene Goodman, well, his words are still good. He's already in the grave, going on to glory. But his words are still good. He said, preachers, young preachers, somebody's going to talk about you. They're going to spread it all over the place. And they're going to tear you apart. They're going to spread it all over the place. They're going to have little gossip sections. They're going to get in the ship, have some privacies in the ship. And they're going to do some things. And he said, here's what you're going to have to do. You're going to have to live right enough, long enough to prove it a lie. I've experienced that. I had people get on, when I first started preaching here, I had people get on CB and talk about the church. CB. CB. Yeah. And I ain't supposed to know about it, but I did. I still went to the funeral home. Amen, Brother Tony. I still went and I still kind. But I know what I did. You know what I had to do? Had to live right enough, long enough, prove it a lie. I'm going to say this. Somebody was going to spread some rumors. But you find out the business of the church inside the church, not outside the church. Amen. I don't know why I'm preaching this message. There must be a reason. Maybe it's, I don't know. I started to make an excuse for it. I don't think so. Number three, how do you wreck a revival? Well, you break the rules. Break your rules. Yeah, you break the rules. Look at verse number 10. Afterward, I came to the house of Shimei, the son of Deliah, the son of Mehetabel. Now, this man was a priest in a priestly office. And he was supposed to be good company. You hear what I'm saying? Nehemiah went in this man in good confidence and good company just to spend some time with him. Look what it says. The Bible said who was shut up. In other words, up in his house. He wasn't running around everywhere. He was shut up. Look what it says. And he said, let us meet together in the house of God within the temple, and let us shut the doors of the temple, for they will come to slay thee. Yea, in the night will they come to slay thee. Now don't read on. Look up here. This man is telling Nehemiah, hey, listen, I care for you. Here's what you need to do. You and I need to go to the temple. You and I need to enter into the temple. And we need to close the doors behind us because that crowd is out to kill you. And we need to, I care for you. And so I want you to come in and to be safe in the temple. And because it says in the night will they come to slay thee. Now don't that sound good? Come on, don't that sound like somebody cares? Come on. Don't it sound like somebody cares? Y'all kind of nervous about that answer, ain't you? Look at verse. See, that's the practical. Don't that sound so practical? I mean, you got somebody that's supposed to be good company, that's supposed to be committed, that cares for you. Man, isn't that good? But the Bible says it wasn't biblical. Look at verse number 11. And I said, should such a man as I flee? He said, wait a minute. The position I'm in, I'm supposed to be a leader. I'm not supposed to be running. I'm supposed to be standing. I'm not supposed to go hide where everybody else works on the wall. I'm a leader. Amen. Now you still got your Bibles open? He said, and who is there that being as I am would go into the temple to save his life? I will not go in. Now look at me. Is he not going in just because he's a leader? No. He's not going in because he's not a priest. The only person who was supposed to enter into that temple and enter into that place to be shut up was the priest. And this man has now told Nehemiah, well, you need to hide from your enemies and you need to come in and we'll come into that inner sanctuary and we'll hide you there. But the problem was, he wasn't supposed to be there. And if he did go in there, he'd had to break God's law, Levitical law, in order to enter in there. You know what I'm saying? He'd had to step over, but it was practical, preacher. Yeah, it's practical, but it wasn't biblical. Don't say that. There's a lot of things practical, but they're not biblical. It makes perfect sense, except God said, don't do it. You hear what I'm saying? Makes perfect sense, except God said, don't do it. In fact, listen, in fact, God would slay him if he entered into the Holy of Holies. But even in the inner sanctuary, he had no place to be. You said, you can't prove that. King Uzziah did it. You remember King Uzziah? Done some great things in Israel. Decided he's going to go into the place where the sacrifice was made and he's going to offer sacrifice. You know what God did to him? Tony took him and turned him into a leper. Lived the rest of his life out of leprosy. Couldn't even come. The Bible says the priest had to run him out of the place. Lived the rest of his life outside the temple. Didn't even enter in. He's unclean. You know why he got that? Offered sacrifice in a place he ought not be. Stood in an office where he wasn't called to be. Made a decision where God didn't make it. You said, anybody else ever done that? Yeah, Saul did that. Remember Saul? Remember he couldn't wait on Samuel, decided he'd make sacrifices? You know what God did because he did that? Removed him from office. You say, preacher, what I'm saying? I'm saying, listen, there are a lot of practical things and not biblical things, and that'll get you in trouble. This man said, come on in. Well, what's an answer? Well, first of all, what's the verb? When you break the rules, you can kill a revival, wreck a revival by breaking the rules, by not being where God wants you to be, how God wants you to be, the way that God wants you to be. But it's practical, preacher. It might be practical, but it's not biblical. You understand? It's not biblical. Look at verse number 12. Here's an answer. And lo, I perceive that God had not sent him. He said, I got thinking about that thing. I began to understand that God had not sent him. But he pronounced this prophecy against me, for Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. He was a hireling. This priest come in and was a hireling of these two men to try to trap and get him to do something wrong. Look at verse 13. Therefore was he hired that I should be afraid and do so. Do what so? Enter into the place he wasn't supposed to be. He was supposed to make me afraid, and then if he made me afraid, I was supposed to do so and sin, and that they might have to have matter of evil report, that they might reproach me. He said, if I survived, they could say, look at Nehemiah, what he's doing. I thought he's supposed to be a leader. He's running. I thought he's supposed to be in tune with God. Look at that. He's entering into the holy place. He's not biblical. It don't matter if they're biblical. You're not biblical. I'm not biblical. And so they begin to point it out. What's he saying? He says, if I did, I'd lose my testimony. Is that right? The hireling would have him hurt. Now here's his hope. Look at verse 14. Here's the answer. My God, think thou upon Tobiah and Sanballat according to their works, and on the prophetess, Noadah, and the rest of the prophets that would have me put in fear. He said, God, my hope is that I'll stay true to the canon of the scriptures, that I'll be what the Bible says, and God, you look on them and you judge them according to the way they're acting. That's strong there, isn't it? How do you kill a revival? How do you wreck a revival? By being reasonable with the enemy. By beginning to spread some rumors. By breaking the rules. Breaking the laws. Breaking the commandments. Breaking the leadership. Breaking the precepts. Some people say, well, I ain't under law. Okay, the precepts. What about those precepts in the New Testament? Are they still there for us? We're under grace. Does that mean we're not supposed to do what it says in the New Testament? Come on now. I'm not under law. Okay, you're not under law. Are you not supposed to be obedient to God? Does he not tell us some things in the New Testament? Then a person saved by grace, are they not supposed to live by the commandments of God? Hey, just because it says thou shalt not kill, can I go out and kill somebody since I'm under grace? Neither can I do any other things there that's not supposed to be doing. Are you right? But preacher, it's practical. It doesn't matter if it's practical. If it's not biblical, it's wrong. He said, they made me to do and sin. He knows to do it right and do it not. To him, it is sin. All right? All right, y'all with me? Is this a revival message? I think so. Look at this with me. So you be reasonable with the enemy, but the answer is refuse to come aboard. You can begin to have some rumors, but the answer is refute it and continue to trust God. You can begin to break the rules. They try to get you to break the rules, but rely on the canon of the scriptures, what the Bible says, and go and live it. Number four. Verse 15 says, so the wall was finished in the 25th day of the month Elul, in the 50 in 2 days. He finished the wall. Isn't that good? So no more problems, right? Yeah, y'all been saved a little while. Look at verse number 16. And it came to pass that when all our enemies heard thereof, and all the heathen that were about us saw these things, they were much cast down their own eyes. For they perceived that this work was wrought of our God. Now they're indignant to this. This bothered them. They were cast down their eyes. Man, we have failed. And they are having a revival. They have raised the walls. They are having revival. We have failed. So the enemy's going to go away now, right? Oh, no. Look at verse 17. Moreover, In those days, now watch this, church. I never saw this before, and I've preached through Nehemiah. It has never stood out to me like this before. Moreover, in those days, the nobles of Judah sent many letters unto Tobiah. Now, look here. Who is Judah? That's Jews? The ones he's fighting for? The ones that are building the wall there? The ones that are part of the nation that he's trying to have revival in? Are you with me? Watch this. Moreover, in those days, the nobles of Judah sent many letters unto Tobiah. And the letters of Tobiah came unto them. Today, that'd be emails, Facebook, phone calls. You listening? They're sending letters, he's sending letters. Well, wonder what they're doing. Reckon they're sending tracts to him? That'd be good, wouldn't it? Reckon they're trying to win him to the Lord? Reckon that'd be good? Wouldn't that be good? That's not what they're doing. Look at verse 18. For there were many in Judah sworn unto him. Sworn unto him. Look at me. Sworn unto him. Not unto God. Unto him. Why? Because he was the son-in-law of Sechani, the son of Arah, and his son Jonathan had taken the daughter of Meshulam, the son of Berechiah. Also, they reported, now watch this. Now, they were kinfolk, weren't they? Listen, oh, boy, you're talking about touching toes tonight. This is it. They were sworn unto him. Why were they sworn unto him? Because they had marriage in the family. Had a relationship. He had a cookout. Family get-togethers. Had a little letters going on. Things going back and forth. They were sworn to him. I want to show you how bad this is. I know some of y'all are reading ahead. I want to show you how bad this is. Verse 19 says, also, they reported his good deeds before me. Stop. They reported his good deeds before me. Here's Nehemiah. He's working like a dog. And they walked by and said, Tobiah was working on this wall too one time. That's not the way Tobiah would have done it. Didn't you see it? Tobiah had a big supper last week and it was sold out. I mean, you got working. Just a handful. But we're working. Tobiah. I bet Nehemiah every now and then turned over and puked Tobiah on the back side of the wall. I'm sorry. I'm regurgitating. Nehemiah's given his life, put his life in danger to do it. And who are they talking about? Tobiah. Ain't that the way it is? Ain't all. Also, they reported, verse 19, also they reported his good deeds before me and uttered my words to him. They weren't going to Tobiah and saying, Tobiah, guess what Nehemiah did on the wall today? None of anything good that he'd done was ever shared with Tobiah. It was his words they were sharing. You know, he said this and he said that and he said this other thing. And I don't know if he said that the right way or not. You might be able to trap him in that. I don't like the way he said that. They shared his words. Not what he was doing, but his words. Isn't that something? Ain't that a snake? Tobiah. But let's talk about what Nehemiah said. Man, I'll tell you one thing I read now. I said, you got to be kidding me. You got to be kidding me. This book's right, ain't it? Human nature is tagged in this book. The flesh is printed on the pages of this book that we might know how it is. Look on with me. And Tobiah sent letters to put me in fears. To shake him up. To keep him from closing the gates. Send him home. and make him quit. Make him look for another occupation. That's what Tobiah did. But you know who was helping him? Backdoor relationships. Those that would talk about to the enemy because they had some relationship in the family. And they were sworn to him. Those backdoor relationships are so dangerous to revival. A lot of times when God really wants to do something, people say, oh, you know, if we take that stand, it's going to offend so-and-so. We better not take that stand. Are you listening? Those backdoor relationships are dangerous. Those backdoor relationships have begin to kill revival. At least that's what they'll try to do. Got your Bibles there? Chapter 7, verse 1. What's the answer to the backdoor relationships? Number one, remain true. Now it came to pass when the wall was built, and I had set up the doors, and the porters, and the singers, and the Levites were appointed. Man, life. Go, Nehemiah. I feel like cheerleading. Go, Nehemiah, go. Go, Nehemiah, go. Go, Nehemiah, go. He said, I went out there. They were sending letters, and we went up there, and we put up the doors, the gates. There's the door. We'll be able to get a door over there. We got to get these gates up. Got to go around and put them 12 gates up. Does that not feel good to you? What are those gates doing? Separating us from them, protecting us from them, setting us apart from them, sanctifying us from them, setting up the doors. That ain't all he done. Said he set up the doors and the porters, that's the ones going to wait the doors, and the singers, and the Levites were appointed. Man, I'm telling you what, they have revival, ain't they? What happened? He did not change from the truth that you need to get done. Even those backdoor relationships. And even those breaking, those want to break in rules, and those want to begin some rumors, and those that want to be reasonable with the enemy. He just kept on going and doing what he was supposed to do because that's what he was supposed to do. Why? Because that's what God called him to do. That's what he was supposed to do. Listen, church, that's what he's called us to do. Can I show you something else about this? Take your Bible and turn to Nehemiah chapter 13. I'm done. This is it. I studied this yesterday. I've had this, took it home last night. I walked in the house last night. I said, I have got this message. Lord, give me. I told my wife yesterday when I come home. In Nehemiah chapter number 13, verse number 7, you have your Bibles open? Nehemiah has to go back for a period of time to Babylon to get leave of the king. Look at verse 7. And I came to Jerusalem and understood of the evil that Eliashib did for Tobiah in preparing him a chamber in the courts of the house of God. While he was gone, they made him a room. The priest made him a room. And it grieved me sore. That word grieved means it made me sorrow. Extremely sorrowful. Therefore, I quit. Oh no. Therefore, I cast forth all the household stuff of Tobiah out of the chamber. I would love to see that. Amen. I had to picture it. I just had to picture it. But I would love to see it. What are you doing? I'm getting rid of this stuff. Well, that ain't all. What else did he say? And then I commanded, and they cleansed the chambers. And thither brought I again the vessels of the house of God, with the meat offering and the frankincense. And I just now saw something I never saw before just now. Just now saw it. Let me ask you a question. Where was the meat offering and the frankincense supposed to be offered, Brother Freeman? You know where? A holy place. That means they set that buzzard up in the holy place. Excuse me, that buzzard. I'm sorry. They set him up in the holy place. And he says, Nehemiah says, oh no, that ain't going to happen. And he cleansed it. And he brought back the meat offering. And he brought back the incense offering, the frankincense. Isn't that amazing? Now here's the thing. Y'all think I've been preaching about a preacher tonight, don't you? How many thought I was talking about a preacher? Come on, y'all. Be honest. How many thought? You talking about the preacher straightening things out. How many thought that? Come on. You know what? Nehemiah wasn't a priest. He ain't a preacher. He was a common man who decided they wanted a revival and got the house ready so the priest could come in and take care of things. Everybody's waiting for the priest to get there to take care of it. Priest ain't job. That ain't the job of the priest. That's the job of the people. Now here's the question. Are you going to let anybody wreck our revival? Because they will wreck them those four ways without a doubt. They will wreck them by trying to get us to be reasonable. They will wreck them with rumors. They will wreck them with us trying to break the rules. And they will wreck them with those backdoor relationships. But you and I have to make up our mind. We are not going to let them wreck this revival. So what's it going to be? We're going to be with them or we're going to be with us? It's all depending on who we decide to go with. Now, we've had good revivals before, but we need, listen, church, we need revival. Let's all stand. I'd like for my daughter to come play something softly. And I'm going to give the altar call this way. If you're concerned that the devil's going to try to wreck this revival, won't you come pray about it?